Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
What does Colgate mean by live life to the brightest? Could it be a rich glass of red sipped inside a Parisian cafe on a snowy night when my gaze is met by a tall, mysterious... I mean, brushing is directed with Colgate Optic White Pro Series Toothpaste gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 3 days, so you can live life to the brightest and finish that glass without worrying about teeth stains. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday.
My favorite things. Happy Throwback Thursday.
I'm sorry. I should have looked at you so I could have thrown the ball in your direction and sent it your way. I'm so sorry.
It was a one-handed catch.
It was a what is that a lyric from something? One-handed catch?
I don't know.
One-handed catch.
Right.
Something's coming. Sorry.
It's coming. Good job. Wow.
Have you ever?
But in the revival,
it will be done in
the
Swedish.
The actual lyric will be
and be spoken.
That's right.
With only a marimba, a theremin, and a xylophone.
Squirt guns. They have squirt guns, and they just keep squirting each other the whole time.
I am here. Okay. I am going to tell you a rumor that I have heard, and I don't know if this is true. Oh. That it's a one act.
If you tell me one more time that it's one act, I Feel Pretty's gone. Heard.
So, folks, listen. I'm not – because you keep an open mind until you see it because you never know. But I have heard that they have cut – it's a one act musical now, West Side Story, and that I Feel Pretty is gone. And I feel some other things are going as well. I don't know if anyone can confirm or deny this. You know where we're at. If not –
the ballet. Ballet's gone.
The ballet is gone. No, I come out and dance the ballet for everybody. Hey, also, friends, listen, if you're in the New York area, TDF, God bless them, has so many wonderful things up on TDF right
Everything.
Now.
Everything.
Like, legitimately.
I saw Slave Play, and I was in the, orchestra on the aisle. I mean, it was fantastic seats.
I saw Slave Play as well. I was in the center mezzanine. Fabulous seats. What a play. What a play. It's a very intense piece of work. But you know,
sneaky.
It's a sneaky play. It sneaks up on you. This acting ensemble though is fantastic. I thought.
Yes. They've been with it for a while, and you can tell it's settled in their it's like breathing. I mean, they're just it's such fantastic acting. It really is.
I don't know how you feel. I was talking to a friend about this. I am so happy that we are having so many shows. Well, not, I don't want to like get hyperbolic, but I'm so happy that things like Slave Play and things like Gary from last season,
Oklahoma are
finding their ways to the New York, to the Broadway.
Oh, community. Original shows,
yeah, original shows in
a commercial venue. I mean, it's
original shows. I mean,
well, they're all people who are artists. There are people who actors, the writers, the designers. There are people who are not in it to. I mean, of course, everyone wants to make a penny, but they're not in it for that. You can tell that what was on stage was art. It was pure and simple, a message, and a beautiful art, which is refreshing to see on Broadway right now, I think.
Yeah, so congratulations to everyone over at Slave Play. If you get a chance, go see it, but also go on to TDF. They have wonderfully cheap tickets for so many fantastic theatrical events.
It sounds
like we are working for TDF. We are not. We're just very impressed by what they produce.
We just like to find a nice, reasonably priced ticket and a nice, fun show, yeah.
And also, we're also very excited because was made public a couple of days ago, but we are now part of the Broadway Podcast Network. Once again, that's the BroadwayPodcastNetwork.com. We are so excited to be joining their team. Dory Bernstein and Alan Seals have done a really fantastic job of taking just about every theater podcast out there and putting them onto this platform, as well as creating original content. So if you go over to Broadway Podcast Network, you'll find other podcasts that are theater related, and so many of these individuals are our friends and have been on our show before. We're so happy that we all have a home now.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
I've never asked you, what other theater podcasts do you listen to, Kevin?
It's interesting. I'm more of a political podcast listener myself.
Yeah.
But I have I definitely have on rotation. Of course, I've listened to Broadway radio for some time, although they just announced that at the end of this year they might be seizing their operations, which is, I think,
I didn't know
epic after all these years. But it's a daily – that's a daily theatrical podcast where you kind of get the news of the day. I think Broadway Briefing, that email, if anybody gets that, that's sort of taken over a little bit. I listen to Ensemblist. I listen to Broadway Wasted. Yeah.
For me, I love My Little Tonys.
I know you do. That was a favorite thing. And I love My Little Tonys.
It was. I love Little Known Facts with Alana Levine. Mm-hmm. Theater Geeks Anonymous. We've been on that
love
show. Theater
Geeks. Love them.
Josh Swallow's Broadway is a really fantastic show that is done by your friend Josh Lehman.
That's right. Yeah. It's fantastic.
So if you go over to Broadway Podcast Network, you're going to see all of our other and other ones that are coming out pretty soon, like Jen Tepper, who's a guest, is going to create her own podcast.
Donna McKechnie.
Donna McKechnie, who we just interviewed, will release her in a few weeks. She talks a little bit about what she is doing, and I think it's fascinating. So, yeah, go on over to the Broadway Podcast Network. Any other big theater news going on this week that we should be aware of, except for the fact that TDF has been marvelous.
We love the TDF. You know, little things here and there. But you just went into rehearsals this week, my friend.
I did. Yes, I did go into rehearsals this week. I am lucky enough to be directing Dirty, Rotten, Scoundrels at the New York Film Academy, which is where Kevin and I did Merrily Roll Along a couple of years ago. And
yeah.
So now this time I'm going to do some Dirty, Rotten. It was a blast. It was a ball. It's one of my favorite shows. And this is the first musical. I think it's the first musical I ever saw in an out-of-town tryout. It was in San Diego.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was in San Diego when I was living in Los Angeles. And two of my friends and I, we drove down to San Diego for the day.
Like you do when you're in college. You drive such... You go such distances to see the theater that you – no, don't you remember? I mean, we did. We used to – we would travel so far to, like, see an out-of-town tryout of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Or maybe to see Cass Morgan coming out of a stage door.
Shut. I love that you remember that. And I just recently thought of – oh, my, I didn't even just take the train. I took a bus, like a Westchester bus. It was a whole process to go see Cass Morgan
you can
in a church.
Folks, go and listen to our favorite things. I don't remember
3 years ago.
It might have been like in the 60s, and it says Cass Morgan is a favorite thing. Kevin's got a really great story about how he met Miss Morgan.
I still never want to meet her in this business because I'm just so embarrassed.
That's understandable.
So embarrassed.
It's okay. It's okay. It's a good story. Right.
Today, favorite things.
Yeah, what's your favorite thing?
Well, before I want to preface my favorite thing because I have a future favorite thing that I just want to tease out there. We've never done that before, but I know you guys can't see it, but on Skype right now, Rob is giving me a face that is shocking. So we talked about the musical Three, which was the trio of musicals that was done at the Prince Theater in Philadelphia. Actually, Rob, a lot of people reached out to me about this because I mentioned the composer Robert Lindsay Nassif and writer and composer who did the Flight of the Lawn Chair Man, the third piece. You know, Lawrence O'Keefe did a piece. John Buchino did the piece. So I will feature Three later. I'm actually going to reach out to a couple of people involved in it, and I'm going to do a little. Let's. This isn't Dateline, but it might be a little expose. A little. I don't want to tease too much, but I thought it, because so many people talked about it, it was supposed to have legs. Hal Prince. It was a dedication to Hal Prince. You know, and rest in peace. And so there's much to be discussed about this interesting piece of theater and the prospects that it could have had that did not come to fruition. But it will be discussed later. But that is not my favorite thing. So.
Okay, great.
So my favorite thing, let's go back a couple more decades. Let's go back to 1962. Picture it. You've got a big Broadway star. You've got a big TV star. TV is not as – you know, they're two different markets back then because they weren't crossing over quite as much yet. This is the 60s, 62. Right. So someone was like, hey, Carnegie Hall, let's put on a big show with these two big stars. But they were worried that the New York star, like the Broadway star, didn't have a big enough name, that she wouldn't pull enough, you know, people. Whereas the weekly star who was on the Gary Moore show every single week was definitely gonna like pull the people to see the show. Some things happen. And we had this amazing concert in June of 1962. That was
Carol and Julie.
That is right. That is right. So Carol Burnett and Julie Andrews. Julie Andrews at peak voice, I would like to say. Now, I just want to oh, I feel like this is sacrilege, Rob, but I'm going to say it and I don't care. I like Julie Andrews. I mean, if she were here right now, I would hug her and I'd kiss her and I'd say, you're amazing. You're awesome. But as far as her voice, I'm not like a diehard fan. Let's just say I'm more of a I'm more of a Barbara Cook kind of guy. Give me a little Karen Morrow to pepper it up. I won't say Elaine Stritch, even though I love her, but you know what I mean?
Could have danced all night. could have danced all night and beg for more.
But Julie Andrews, I can kind of like my problem is I can always kind of hear her sort of acting a little bit when she'll speak a word out of nowhere and you just feel like, no, why did you do that? But it's fun. But this concert, this Carnegie Hall concert, she is at her peak. Carol Burnett is not only funny, but just people forget. Fade out, fade in, that Carol Burnett is an amazing singer. She's a comedian. She's a person that will make you cry with laughter, but she actually is a fantastic singer. So let me pull up my notes. So this is the concert of a CBS special, Judy and Carol at Carnegie Hall. It was a one-night thing. Mike Nichols wrote all of the specialty material, which is included on the recording. Now, if you have an LP player, please get the record. You can buy the CD for like $40 on eBay, or you can go to your streaming places like Spotify and Apple TV and get the Julie and Carol at Carnegie Hall. Check it out. It's streaming. It's a very short, it was a 60-minute special. And some things to just keep an eye out for while you're listening. First of all, we have to give a shout out to the conductor, who was Irwin Kostel, who was also the orchestrator for West Side Story. He didn't do a lot of Broadway material because he actually, you know, the TV was such a big deal. And you guys, you have to understand that every single TV house, every single theater, they all had an orchestra in the 40s and 50s. If you were a musician, you were working constantly. Orchestras everywhere. If you went out to nightlife, every time you go to a club and you hear music being played over a speaker, there used to be an orchestra playing all of that music. So this man is a man who made his living doing the TV world. So it was a lot of studio work, as we call it. And so then Mike Nichols did all the writing. They keep all of the dialogue on the recording, which I think is so fun. So they each one of them, they have a moment where they have to change costume before the next little funny scene. They each have a moment of seriousness, a moment of satire, you know, being funny, and then a duet in between. But what they each sort of roast each other while the other is changing. And they keep all of that dialogue the both times. There's a great medley of the history of musical comedy, which literally they go through all of the different styles, going so far as to have Carol, who's just a fantastic singer, she starts to sing Loverly, which is kind of funny because that's, you know. And then they have a whole thing about Sound of Music, but this is well before Julie Andrews is ever going to be cast in the movie of Sound of Music, and they do a send-up of Sound of Music. Anyway, you've seen it or heard it, I'm sure, Rob. That is my favorite thing. This incredible – and then they went on to go do two more – concerts decades later in 1971 and then 89 again, but this one in 1962 where it began, it's so funny. They're just at their peaks, but they don't quite know it yet, and that's really fun to hear.
That I think that's such a great way of putting it. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, I have seen the one they did in the late 80s, I think the 1989 one. I have not seen the others though, and I'm a huge Carol Burnett fan.
Yeah, and in Carol Burnett, you mind you, this is even pre-Broadway Carol Burnett. I mean, this is 1962. They're still proving themselves, and yet, I mean, there's one thing that I think that I want to just send out there. Wait, there was one moment that made me laugh so hard. So they do this medley of the musical history, musical comedy, and they go into West Side Story. It starts with operetta, you know, Ah, Sweet Mystery of Life, then Dancing in the Dark, I Get a Kick Out of You. Julie Andrews sings I Can't Say No, but she says I Can't Say No, of course, because she's British. And then at the very end of it, the punchline is I just can't say can't, or I can't say can't. Can't. It's very cute.
That's cute.
Carol sings Loverly, and then Oh no, Anita, no, Anita, no. And Carol Burnett goes, oh yeah. It's Rob. It's one of the funniest things I've ever heard. I howled outside. So, oh no, I need to know. And Carol Burnett going, oh yeah. Just listen for it.
I love Carol Burnett so much.
So the whole thing, though, is amazing because you hear Carol Burnett is a fantastic singer. I've gone on and on too much. But you hear Julie Andrews also, not just as a great voice, but as you hear why she's a musical comedy actress. And to be perfectly honest, going back to what I said at the beginning about thinking, oh, I didn't love her voice. Well, you know, what's the fuss? In so many words, because she's ultra special. Please do not get me wrong. But by listening to this, it's almost like the concert was about them taking on the qualities of each other and celebrating that and then letting those qualities shine within themselves. And I have a greater appreciation for both of them because of this concert.
That's great. It's like, almost like they're trading places in terms of what they both do. Yeah. And I think that's fantastic. Well, I can't wait to watch it now. I love me a good comedy special. There are so many roles I wish Carol Burnett would have played at some point for musical theater. The one, I mean, she did so much summer stock, which was great, even in the height of her television shows. But there's so many music. I would love to have seen her Roxy Hart.
I hear they're recorded. I heard tell that there are some people that have some John Kennedy tapes in places. So if you do, will you write to us? Let us know. Because
You know what? Let me tell you a John Kennedy story really quickly.
Please.
One of our avid listeners and a great guy, Will Hutchison, is from Ohio, and he went back home to Ohio recently and went to a restaurant that apparently was close to wherever the Kennedy Players was, and the restaurant is decked out in photographs with the owner and the person who was appearing at the Kennedy Players at the time. And
right.
So there's a whole – it's like a Sardi's of Kennedy Players, and he, God bless him, Will, went around and took 30 photos for us. To show us like who's all on the wall, we'll post those on Instagram.
I love those kinds of anecdotes. That's absolutely amazing.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's really cool.
I love that. Okay, so
praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Mine.
All right. What is your favorite thing, my friend?
Well, now, it's so funny that you – my person is sort of a combination of Carol Burnett and Julie Andrews. It's an individual who – we talked about her last week, and the more I did some research onto her and I was like, she's really my favorite thing for this week. And that's the great Phyllis Newman, who we lost just last week. If you remember, Phyllis Newman – she'd been around for years and years and years and years. And I want to applaud one. First of all, she was a fabulous artist. There is no denying that. She made her Broadway debut in Wish You Were Here, which is we've done as a favorite thing, and I love that show. She also appeared in Bells Are Ringing and The Apple Tree, On the Town. She won. She was nominated for a Tony Award for the play Broadway Bound in 1987, and she won the Tony Award for Best Featured Actress in a Musical in 1962 for Subways Are for Sleeping. Whom did she beat out for that? Anybody?
Who?
People.
I was going to say Barbara Streisand.
Barbara Streisand doing I Can Get It For You Wholesale. I should have sang Miss Morgenstein.
People were screaming the answer just now.
Yeah, that's okay. That's why I gave it a nice long gap for people to yell and cry. But she beat out Barbara Streisand for I Can Get It For You Wholesale. We've talked about The Madwoman of Central Park West.
A couple times, which is kind of like a cult
favorite of mine. Like if somebody gave me $1 million and said, what do you want to do with those $1 million? You know what I would love to do. I would love to do
But you got on location.
Yeah, but I would play her. I would.
Yeah, we'd all go to like the Dakota.
Yeah.
And we would all go in. Exactly.
And so if you want to see her talents in action, go onto YouTube. Type in the Mad Woman of Central Park West. It's an experience to say the least, but it shows how talented she was. She was married to the great lyricist and book writer Adolph Green of Comden and Green fame. They were together for a long, long time. He wrote "Bells Are Ringing." He wrote "Subways Are for Sleeping." So it's nice that they got to work together. They had two beautiful children, Adam Green, who's a brilliant writer, and Amanda Green, who is one of the most fantastic lyricists working today. But in addition to all of this, I want to applaud the work that she did off screen. For example, I hope you all know this by now, but she was diagnosed with cancer. And then after she recovered, she created the Phyllis Newman Women's Health Initiative in 1995, and it's part of the Actors Fund of America. And since being created in 1995, it's not only served over 2,500 women in the entertainment industry, it's raised about $3.5 million. This was an incredible, incredible task for her to take on. It produced those wonderful Nothing Like a Dame galas that celebrated fantastic women working in the industry that needed to get some more recognition for the fantastic work that they were creating. She was the first person to win the Isabel Stevenson Award, which was a special Tony Award for her work with the Health Initiative. She's a pretty spectacular individual. I'm so sorry we lost her. As you know, we were talking about this. We tried to get her as a guest on this show countless times. She was so amenable to it, but unfortunately her health prevented her from doing so. I hope you all go back and take a look at her. And if you want, she wrote a fantastic autobiography called Just in Time, Notes from My Life, which was published in 1988. And you can take a look at it.
It's beautiful.
Also, people sort of forget this. She says this in her book, and I would love for someone to confirm if this was true. She was the first female to host the Tonight Show. When Johnny Carson was out, she would go on to the Tonight Show and host it. Yeah. So before like Joan Rivers and all that stuff, she was on.
Yeah.
So anyway, I would love for someone to confirm that. And also, if throughout the 60s, 70s, and 80s, she was like a constant presence on TV game shows. So that's how people got to know her as well. So anyway, go ahead and listen to one of Phyllis's fantastic renditions. You can either go onto YouTube or go onto iTunes and you can see her. But she's my favorite thing for this week. And I just bemoan the fact that we did not get a chance to sit down and
talk with her.
But I want to tell you just one more little quick story about what a cool person she is.
Please.
And then I'll let you go. When we were doing a show at 54 Below called Broadway Bound, and it was musicals that were destined for Broadway that did not come to Broadway for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And we focused on a show called Pleasures and Palaces, which was a Frank Lesser musical that closed in Detroit. And we also did a musical called How Do You Do I Love You, which was Maltby and Shire's first piece that she was in that closed out of town. When we announced what the shows were, I got an email from her saying, she goes, "I hope you don't mind, but I was in both of these shows. Can I come and share an anecdote?"
How cool reached is, out to reached you.
How for, cool is
for
that?
For a 54 Below gig.
How that's, cool is that? So she was a really,
classy,
really special.
Super classy.
With great, great stories. She was a big supporter of Saving the Colonial and came out to that as well. She was just a really special individual.
A fixture of Broadway.
A fixture and always had a smile on her face and a witty retort in her back pocket ready to go. So go ahead, take a listen to Phyllis Newman, and then you're going to go over to YouTube and take a look at
Julie and Carol at Carnegie Hall.
Great. Enjoy. Till next time.
Bye, everybody.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.